coming to you from an undisclosed location, somewhere in the Northern Hemisphere, waiting out the alien apocalypse. He is armed with a machete and a microphone. Join Michael James as he seeks answers to the paranormal, conspiracies, ancient mysteries, and the occult. Are you ready to trip the fuck out? This is Beyond the Forbidden.
The title of the book is The Bloodlines of the Illuminati. What exactly is the Illuminati?
The Illuminati is the continuation of the mystery religions. There was quite a number of mystery religions in antiquity, and these mystery religions had councils that controlled them. And then there was a supreme council that operated from clear from India to the British Isles that then coordinated all of these mystery religions. And that would be the today what we call the hierarchy of the Illuminati.
So the Illuminati is basically just an extension of the mystery religion system, the whole type of philosophy.
Yes, it was a way of hoarding knowledge and power to a few special people.
And how do they hoard the knowledge?
Well, when I say knowledge, some of the knowledge is pseudo-knowledge, and some of the knowledge is actually scientific knowledge, which enabled, for instance, Christopher Columbus to be certain that he could sail across the Atlantic and hit land. He was associated with the Knights Templars, which is one of these secret societies associated with the Illuminati. So you've got different types of knowledge, but some of the knowledge is actually bogus. It's just claimed so that they can get people to join whatever mystery religion they're trying to offer.
That gave them an advantage. How did it give them the advantage? Well, like in the Alice in Wonderland, your master sets himself up as the White Rabbit. In The Wizard of Oz, he's the wizard. In this alien stuff, the programmer pretends to the poor victim who's drugged and under hypnosis and being tortured that he is an alien, perhaps from a race that's far advanced of ours. I went through and tried to understand the encounters of the third kind, and I interviewed people that had been abducted by aliens. What I found was that every one of them had this type of mind control.
Beyond the Forbidden.
So I do have some new listeners that's come on the scenes since our last discussion. But I guess first off, explain, you don't have to explain it to me, just explain it to the newcomers, but a little about yourself and what inspired you to expose Illuminati mind control and the conspiracy to enslave the human race.
Well, initially I got a calling from God, and I know you've had other Christians on your show, so hopefully it won't irritate people that I'm a Christian.
No, it
and
won't.
That, I try to follow the good Lord as close as I can. I really have a heart for God. And that all pertains to why I started what I was doing and how I was able to. And unless people understand that God can protect us and God can lead us, they wouldn't really understand what I've done. But anyway, back in 1978, I got a calling to expose the corruption in the churches. I started doing that, but I was too immature to really, people talked me out of doing what I had been called to do. It took me about 10 years. It's sort of like Jonah running from his calling, you know, and then finally God brought him around by really making life difficult for him. life got difficult for me, and I finally got brought around. It's really an amazing story how I got brought around and started actually doing my calling in 1990. So there was about 10 years there where I dropped the ball. But I got back into doing it in 1990 and doing it in a big way. But I was being strategic. I was not exposing the Illuminati just by walking out in the middle of a highway and letting a Mack truck run me over. Mm-hmm. I was very strategic. You know, they use gradualism against us. So I got my material out to one ring of people and then another ring. I was using gradualism against them. I was very, very behind the scenes, which is one reason why people didn't know much about me early on. Another reason is because I was legitimate. I got no publicity. I saw people that were double agents that were exposing the world order, and they got all kinds of negative publicity, but I didn't get anything. Mm-hmm. I was flying underneath the radar. It wasn't really until 5 years later in 1995, I gave major talks for the Prophecy Club before large audiences in 12 American cities. And what I want to share today also pertains to things I was showing back then. I showed back in that talk, if people can find my Prophecy Club talk, type in Fritz Bringmeyer Prophecy Club. They've tried to take off a lot of my videos that are on the internet, but you might still find it.
You anyway, can. I showed you, if you look, you will find them. Trust me, because I didn't mean to interrupt you, but over the years, ever since at least 06, 07, I would watch periodically, you know, your videos just to kind of just so I don't forget anything, or because you talk about so much within your material, it's easy to forget things. But your lectures are still out there. Many of the lectures from the mid to late 90s.
Wow, that's great. So, you know, I had a chart exposing, and I have it right here. I was actually thinking we were going to be people were going to be able to see me, but Zoom was giving me trouble. So
this won't be the last time you're on here. Trust me.
So, you know, I had a chart showing how the healthcare system was controlled. You know, you got groups like the medical schools, big pharma, regulatory groups like the FDA, NIH, CDC, and WHO. You got secret enforcement groups like the Medical Strike Force, CCHI, NCHF, that make up this whole healthcare system. And those people that have already studied this know how the Rockefellers came in, corrupted that. It's not just them, but they were one big Illuminati family behind that. And then I had a chart showing how the political system controlled by the oligarchy and how the food system's controlled. You know, a lot of people don't realize modern tractors steer themselves. The farmer's not steering his own tractor, and the software that controls the tractor, it doesn't even belong to the farmer. So if it malfunctions, he doesn't even own it. It belongs to the manufacturer,
mm-hmm. yep.
which a lot of farmers don't like. So there's all kinds of controls, and that's going to relate to what I wanted to talk about. But anyway, to keep introducing myself to people, I wrote a series of 7 books on the Illuminati, and the book that was being referred to, Bloodlines of the Illuminati, was The Who. Because way back in the day, I would talk about things and I'd be like everybody. I would say, well, they are doing this and they are doing that. And then people would look at me and go, you keep saying they, but who's the they? So I wrote a book and explained who the they was.
They're all in there, people. They are all in there. I keep saying it, but it's a huge book, though. And you said it's one of your smallest books.
Yeah. The bigger ones are the ones that are on the trauma-based mind control that you were referring to. It's interesting. I've got to say something you know, you have different guests on, Michael.
Yeah.
And I haven't been listening to your different guests. I'm too busy to do that. But mm-hmm. I see what they're talking about, you know, talking about I'm spazzing here because there's so many different names. It's called Omaha, Sasquatch, Bigfoot, Yeti, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. And when I was growing up, I lived in Nepal, and I knew Sasquatch as, or Bigfoot as, Yeti. And as a young boy, that was something that fascinated me, because Nepal, that area, the Himalayas, was where people first started taking note of abominable snowman or Bigfoot. And so that was an area of study for me. And the reason why I quit, why I dropped that, is in my early teens, there was that Patterson film. These two guys were out on horseback, and then they filmed this female Sasquatch or Bigfoot running. And then all of the theaters across the United States showed this film, and the Hollywood producers were saying, no, this couldn't have been faked. You look at the muscular and the way this creature's running and everything, with the technology they had back then, this couldn't have been faked, you know? And mm-hmm. so it was shown at the theaters. I went to the local American theater, and I saw it, you know, and people were interested. And I thought, oh, okay, the subject's been broken up, open. And now all these universities or whatnot are going to study it. Because at that time, they had not Yeti, but they had SETI, S-E-T-I,
yeah,
all caps, where they were spending millions, billions of dollars looking for life way out in outer space. And then I'm like, okay, well, now that they've broken the subject open, there's going to be naturalists and other people that are going to take note and study this. Well, it was just totally covered up, totally. And that ran chills down my back. I realized this is a subject that the system doesn't want anybody to know about.
To listen to this full-length interview, you have a few options available to choose from in the description. You can subscribe through the Buzzsprout link provided for $3 a month. With the Patreon link provided, you will have a video podcast option, which is $5 a month. So what the hell are you waiting for?
Yeah. It's controlled. They're not going to let people freely investigate this. They'll spend trillions of dollars on something like SETI, looking for life somewhere out in some far off galaxy, but they're not going to spend a few dollars investigating something in their backyard. Then this is a cover up. So that scared me away. And I quit investigating it as a teenager. And another subject I shelved was in 1993, because I was working with people that had been in the Illuminati that I was trying to help out. I kept bumping into a subject, which people call reptilians. David Icke in 1995 started exposing it. And by the way, yes, I know David Icke. We've sat across the table and visited and ate meals together and everything. So, and as a Christian, I tried to introduce him to Christ, which he's not a Christian. But anyway, a couple years before he went public, I had already written a book on the subject. And then I was just like, you know what? I don't have anything 3D. This is all he said, she said, you know. It's just, I couldn't nail it down. I was trying to nail it down. You know, I had photographs people had taken where people had reptilian eyes. And that sounded like, well, okay, I've got something 3D here. I can go forward with this subject. And then the next thing I realize is they are making contact lenses that make your eyes look reptilian. Now, why anyone would want to buy contact lens that makes them look reptilian, I don't know, but they were available. So these people could possibly have been wearing contact lenses. So I didn't feel comfortable going forward with that subject. I see some of your speakers are. But when I talk about the Illuminati, I'm talking, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, people. That's where I'm going with all this. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracy realist.
Yeah, exactly. I'm myself.
Talking facts, people. There's been a lot of subjects I've shelved because even though they're exciting, I couldn't get anything that I could sink my teeth into. But I have worked with people that I helped out of the Illuminati. Once I started exposing the Illuminati, I had all kinds of people come out of the woodwork to talk with me because they had been holding all this on the inside and they finally had found somebody that they could talk to. So anyway, that's a long-winded answer to your short question.
I say it all the time, but I'm here all the time. You know, this show is for you to speak your mind. And of course I will try to have a certain path for us to go down, you know, but you mentioned health a while ago, and I don't want to be too much on this right now, or I forgot what you said, maybe agenda 2020 or 2030. I forgot what you said, but for those, it made me think of Codex Alimentarius. Is that still going on today? And for those who may not know what that is, explain a little bit about the Codex Alimentarius. I believe you spoke about it before, but I know a lady, I forgot her name, I don't have it right in front of me. She started breaking the scenes and had lectures on that very thing.
What was she saying, Mike?
The Codex Alimentarius, how they are using, I have notes on this. That's why I was wanting you to give me a refresher and the audience if what you knew about Codex Alimentarius. Let me see. What's her name? I can't find it right now. I'll try to find it here in a moment and get back with you. But do you know anything about that Codex Alimentarius? It's the food and safety and quality and all that.
Well, that's definitely one of the ways that they control us and food. And actually, you know, that is one aspect of a bigger picture that I wanted to get into. I hit upon a way to explain to people what's going on where they can naturally see the answer. And I wanted to get into that. And what you're talking about is a little niche, a little topic within a bigger topic that I wanted to cover.
Rima Labelle. Rima Labelle. If you want me to play, you know, since I got a little time with you, if you want me to play just a couple minutes of it, this little video is 8 minutes. You want me to play a couple minutes of it real quick?
Yeah, play a couple
okay.
minutes of it.
All right. And I'll get the link. I'll get the link for everybody.
So people are going to be like, okay,
you research a lot about the health and the conspiracy to keep our health, you know, out of our hands and into Big Brother's hands, and that they are trying to and how we have cures for all types of diseases and ailments. But let me go ahead and screen share this for everybody to see. Screen share.
In fact, the last show I did, Michael, I talked for like an hour and a half on the show, and then we opened it up to questions, and there were 2.5 hours of questions.
Yeah.
And then I hadn't talked on health during my presentation. But then when we went to questions, I got a lot of questions about health. And I'll tell you this, this is not something people want to hear about.
No.
Here's the problem, Michael. People want to think that the problems in the world are external. They're out there. They're the Illuminati or the Cabal or the Russia or Putin, whatever. They want to see an external enemy out there, you know, the aliens or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you start talking about where the rubber really meets the road, which is taking care of yourself, your own health, making healthy decisions. I tell you what, I've been doing this for over 30 years, Michael, and if it's hard enough to tell people that of what's going on in the matrix in this fake real world, it's even harder to talk about health. People will just shut me down as soon as I start talking about it.
Fritz, let me go ahead and play this real fast, just a minute or two for everybody.
Yeah.
All right.
No problem.
Let me define it for you. Let me help you understand the enemy. And let me assure you that absolutely nothing that I'm going to tell you is exaggerated, is interpolated, or is imagined. Everything I'm going to tell you is documented, and it's a great deal of it is documented on my website, which is healthfreedomusa.org. And I've been watching the votes in Congress, which, God help us, is our bastion of support and protection against Codex, and I'll explain why that is. I've been watching the votes to protect our health freedom dwindle until finally in the 109th Congress, without a good deal of activity, we didn't have the votes to protect us. I've been watching Codex accelerate, and I've been watching it expand, and I've been getting more and more troubled. Let me give you a brief rundown of Codex then. After the Second World War, the Nuremberg tribunals were held, in which people who had committed crimes against humanity were judged by the world community in a court run by the United States and Britain. And they were sentenced to terms in prison if they were found guilty of crimes against humanity. One of the people found guilty of crimes against humanity was the president of a huge industrial megalith called IG Farben. IG Farben produced the gas used in the gas chamber, Cyclone B. They produced the steel for the death camps and the railroad lines. They produced the munitions. They produced chemicals. They produced all kinds of stuff. They produced pharmaceuticals, big, 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 big pharmaceutical company. So the president of IG Farben was convicted of crimes against humanity. Now, he's a sort of artistic fellow and creative. He was the one who was responsible for the slogan that people saw as they entered Auschwitz, usually for the last time. Arbeit macht frei. Work brings freedom. Creative sort of fellow. So he was sitting in jail and he said, well, that didn't work. What else can we do? I've got it. Food. He who controls food controls the world. So when he got out,
so we'll stop it right there, but I can send you that video. And this is just a clip, and only an 8-minute clip. I played 3 minutes of it or a couple minutes of it, Fritz, and I'll send you that's because I got to refresh myself. I remember watching, I think it said 2005. I remember watching that lecture from, I guess it was 2005. I thought it was, I probably watched it maybe around 07, 08, maybe, but I thought it was from the 90s, that clip. But I'll send you, try to find the full length and send it to you through email, and I'll get let everybody else watch it. But what do you think about that, Fritz?
Well, that's totally correct.
She goes much deeper, but I didn't want to have her here. I want to have you here.
Right. And I'm going to work that in because, So if it's okay, I'll switch gears here, because I want to introduce something that will touch on that. But first, getting back to your new people, it's important to face evil head on, just for what it is, because what we're seeing in the world is that the world is enabling evil. People are codependent with evil. See? And they have walls of fear that prevent them from admitting evil exists and then doing something. And they're told to think positive and live in this bubble where evil doesn't exist. So I truly believe one of the best things that can happen for a person is to come face to face with evil in such a blatant way that they break out of their positive thinking bubble. I mean, it's what happened to my wife before she became my wife. Is she met someone who was so truly evil, she broke out of this positive thinking bubble and saw reality for what it is. You know, in Christianity, one needs to realize he's a sinner that is hopeless, totally hopeless to do good without God. Evil is that strong, people. So, if you have some listeners, pardon me?
I don't mean to interrupt, but yes, you're right. And one of the evil things I wanted to discuss within this interview also, but we can touch on health, the control of, you know, our autonomy and control, you know, the pharmaceuticals. We can talk a little bit about that, but towards, you know, within this interview, while I have you, I do want to touch on human trafficking, sex trafficking, and things on that nature. And I think I have a few theories that I may want to throw your way too, because all of this, the Illuminati, yes, I know everybody uses it these days, but it's really just, we have a bunch of major players. People call them the deep state, call them the elites, the ones that's been, and you talk about the bloodlines, and many of them have been having these bloodlines and been going back for hundreds or for centuries. I want to touch on human trafficking, sex trafficking also, because that is one of the biggest things that I want to see exposed before I leave, you know, before I leave this meat suit.
Okay. So I'm wanting the listeners to not be afraid, but to confront evil in their life. That being the case, now I'm going to dive into what we're facing today. And I think this approach that I have is naturally going to show people not only what's happening, but the answer to what's happening. Because people have been seeing this 5G war all around them, but they haven't had a name for it, and they haven't had someone explain it. So there's some military men that are beginning to call this, several years ago, began to call this fifth generational war against humanity, the oligarchs war. But what is this fifth generational warfare? And by way of disambiguation, I'm not talking about 5G like the towers and stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about fifth generational warfare, and I'm going to describe how they came up with this term. This term's been around since 2005, and by covering it, the term will make sense. And again, this has nothing to do with 5G wireless. So the first generation warfare was back in ancient times. You'd have a nation, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners and you, Michael, can identify with this because you know enough history. A nation or an empire, they would mass their troops into a phalanx or a legion or a column, and then, or perhaps another mass, organized mass of troops, and then they'd fight mass to mass with their enemy. And an example of this would be Mel Gibson's movie, The Patriot, where this is the American Revolution, the American British armies face off, and then these masses of troops fight mass to mass. This is labeled first generation warfare, and the uniforms were very colorful. But then with the advent of repeating breech loading guns and machine guns like Gatling guns, et cetera, and further development and combined armed units, the concept of a mass of troops versus another mass of troops was really impractical. So they went from colorful uniforms to camouflage uniforms. And they went from masses of groups to small groups using cover and concealment. And of course, then they had radios come in to use to control all these small groups. And the technology of war made war an economic war between two sides, because they'd try to out-invent and out-produce each other. So that second generation warfare is called industrial warfare. And then the next generation of warfare is when that linear warfare ended, because now they developed helicopters, missiles, paratroopers, air mobile troops, blitzkrieg maneuver, you know, strong mobile forces. And so that's the kind of thing that Ukraine's trying to use now with this new offensive that they open up, but they're not really getting into because of the Russian defenses, are really not getting into they're not really being able to use their mobility like they would like. But this kind of third generation warfare is characterized by maneuver, speed, and flexibility. So in order to do that, you need small units to be given flexibility to operate, you know, which if a nation doesn't give their sergeants and lieutenants the ability to make command decisions, they're going to have to stick with a more primitive form. But the next line of warfare is called fourth generation warfare, and that's by the people that came up with these terms. That's what the U.S. was facing in Afghanistan. Now, I would argue guerrilla warfare has gone on since history began. You know, this term fourth generation I take issue with. But at any rate, fourth generation is decentralized postmodern guerrilla war. And in this scenario, nation states have lost their monopoly on warfare, and it's now gone over to things like ISIS. In these guerrilla conflicts, all kinds of pressure is used to defeat the other side. Well, I would argue that Spartacus's slave uprising, the Filipino insurrection when the United States tried to make the Philippines a colony, these would be examples of it. At any rate, this is how the terms are being used. Fifth generation warfare, which is being used against us now, is totally different from all these others. And it means to attack your enemy by every means possible but kinetic. Kinetic means bullets and bombs. In other words, every method possible that you could attack your enemy comes under the label of 5G. So, you know, disinformation. Yeah, definitely.
Propaganda.
Modifying weather, tampering with a nation's self-image, cyber attacks, destroying a country's morals and their culture. This is an example of this fifth generation warfare, is what Red China has been doing to us. And what people don't realize is Red China is an instrument for the Illuminati to destroy America. In 2014, six of the seven big Chinese banks were controlled by the Illuminati. And an example that I use to show how far they've infiltrated the United States is basically most U.S. colleges have Confucius Institutes, which are really, if you scratch the surface, are Maoist groups. You know, and China's been stealing our technology. They've been undermining our economy and politics. They set up the AIIB to replace the IMF, you know. And while I'm on that, you know, people have been worried since circa 2013. You know, I even wrote articles about this, about the potential of the BRICS to replace the dollar as the world's reserve currency. And the more I've looked at things and watched how things developed, you know, the American dollar is never going to be something like the Nepalese rupee or something. You know, it's always going to be an important means of exchange in the world. The United States has a lot going for it. It's an incredible country, and Russia and China, which are our major BRICS, you know what that stands for, Brazil, Russia,
yeah,
India, China, and South Africa, right? Well, they're all basically basket cases. People don't realize how much of a basket case China's economy is. And the Illuminati have been building them up. Recently, you see, because of this Ukraine war, you know, Germany's been sending their manufacturing to China because they don't feel like they can manufacture things like they used to, because the cost of everything has gone so high. So they've been building, and by the way, in this Ukrainian conflict is a controlled conflict. It's Hegelian dialectics. And I'm not going to get into that because that's a whole nother show or two, how they created this Ukrainian conflict. But the only people that are really benefiting from this is the cabal, the Illuminati. So, you know, the point I'm making here is all of our own systems are against us. And if people were watching, they could see that during this DEMIC, you know. I don't like to say it because I've had a number of interviews that I did pulled off of the internet because you got too close to the truth on these kind of subjects. But all these systems of control, all these systems that the elite power brokers have created, they're all weaponized against them. What are these systems of control? You know, healthcare, which we were just talking about. So we have to have an alternative healthcare. We have to look at alternative healthcare. The food system, we were just talking about that. We have to have alternative safe sources of food, and we have to grow our own food. You know, I'll give some examples of that. My cousin's son was involved with the feedlot. I live in the Midwest, and when COVID came, he was busy because this was his job. It wasn't something that he chose to do. His assignment was to take the COVID shot and vaccinate all the cattle with these COVID jabs. You know, and when I heard that, it grossed me out. It was like, okay, we've got to find farmers that raise their own beef, that are raising clean beef, and buy our hamburger from a safe source, you know. Mm-hmm. Education, you know, we have to homeschool because it's been turned against us. Religions, I would, you know, religious system, I would distrust mainstream groups, you know. Christians need to focus on Christ, and they need to realize where our help comes from. Says in the scripture that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. We need humility to have God on our side. And without God on our side, we're not going to do much to face this monolithic, huge conspiracy to destroy humanity. The judicial system, that's been weaponized against us. People need to distrust it. Political system. I know this is hard for a lot of people to realize, but don't expect the political system to save you. Financial system, don't trust it. There's a lot of people coming on the internet and they're they're saying, I'm this guru, financial guru, and they give you all this stuff. You know, take things with a grain of salt, people. I don't care what their credentials are. I've been watching this for many years. I'm sure Michael has too.
I have a poster right behind me that says it's the cigarette smoking man off the X-Files. It says, trust no one. So basically, to me, what that means, do your own research. You know, like I have all kinds of researchers on, even though you're one of my favorite researchers, but still in general, I have all types of researchers on. That doesn't mean I believe what every researcher says. I do my own research and I leave it to myself and the audience to make their own conclusion, but have an open mind to everything, but don't let it fall out, but always be skeptical what people say or things you hear in the media or whatever, you know?
Exactly. Thank you very much. See, what this pertains to is being a free person. A free person takes responsibility for themselves. Some of these shows I do, people call in and they go, where's your proof for this? Where's your proof for that? You know, I'm like, well, hey, do your own research. But they don't want to do that. They want some expert to tell them what they should believe. It doesn't work that way, people. If you want to be a free person, you need to take responsibility for yourself. You know, do your own research. Don't just count on me. Now, you're welcome to buy my books, and my books have lots of documentation. When I wrote my Be Wise as Serpents book back in 1990 and 91, which is huge, it's around 800 pages, I had a personal standard that everything I wrote in that book, I was going to document. And that slowed me down a lot, because if you have to find the exact source for every half sentence or sentence you write, you've got to, you know, some of those chapters have like 150 footnotes, you know, that's heavily footnoted. If you have to do that, it really slows you down. But it was my first massive book exposing the system of system, and I wanted to do that. So my books will give you some documentation for sure, but you can also, a lot of this stuff is just below the surface, or some of it's anymore right in our face. You know, I mean, World Economic Forum is just, they're just pushing this stuff right out in our face. So you need to get alternative news, because the mass media system is weaponized against us. So find alternative sources like you're listening to right now. So all these systems have been weaponized against us far more probably than you can imagine. And sometimes when I start telling people the details, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to believe it. You know, sure, disinformation, social engineering are weapons, but it goes way beyond that. So think back to Sun Tzu's classic book, The Art of War. He said, know the enemy. So that's what the satanic elite, the Illuminati, the cabal, that's what they're doing. They took Sun Tzu's advice to an extreme way. Now, they have an agenda, and I'm just going to tell you, quite frankly, people, we have lost this country. You have lost this country. When I began exposing all of this in 1990, there was a sliver of chance. We are now in, I hate to tell you this, we are now in the New World Order. And the CBDCs that are coming down the pike will be a type of slavery that's way beyond what this country's ever seen. And we're very close to that. So they want to depopulate the world, and they want to install a world ruler. And considering that they control people's perception of things, because this is like the Matrix in the movie, The Matrix, and people are just walking through this dream, artificial world that's been created for them to believe in, they will probably be able to install a world ruler, and that's a whole nother subject in itself. So they started out practicing what they're going to do to us in terms of knowing us all or tracking us all, DARPA started tracking, and DARPA, by the way, is Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, a mouthful, and they have approximately 120 program managers that run programs globally, and they're headquartered in Arlington, Virginia, near the CIA. They work in secret. They work with the NSA. They work with the CIA. And both the NSA and CIA, by the way, since my subject specialty, one of my specialty subjects of research is the Illuminati, both the NSA and CIA are daughters, creations of the Illuminati, just like MI6 and the FBI. So that explains why our current FBI director, Christopher Wray, goes to the World Economic Forum in Davos. The people that are running the World Economic Forum, by the way, are Illuminati, you know. And Wray, in 2004, was exposed participating in illegal surveillance. There was this book, you can get it, The Shadow Factory by Bill Bamford. Mm-hmm. And that book is to help people understand illegal domestic surveillance better. Because under Bush's terrorist surveillance program, they created warrantless surveillance. And then when that got exposed, then they supposedly shut it down and created PRISM. So anyway, DARPA, in conjunction with the NSA and CIA and assisted by the military, began a comprehensive biometric data collection program in Iraq and Afghanistan. So they did biometrics on 1.5 million Afghan men, 2.2 Iraqi men. They collected all this biometrics. And then the U.S. military wouldn't even be honest to their own people. In their war college, they described this biometrics collection as the moral prosecution of war. And then the mainstream media described that campaign as a hearts and mind campaign. And I just got to laugh at that, because you come along and force this person to give their DNA and eye biometrics and all this other stuff, and you call that a hearts and mind campaign? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Go figure.
And but, that's all stored. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, go ahead.
That's all stored in a mega database called MAPHT, which means mapping the human terrain. And now they're doing MAPHT teams are working globally. And here in the United States, that's called PRISM, PRISM. And it was exposed by Snowden. And healthcare providers, again, exposing how these systems are weaponized against us. Healthcare providers and social media are contributing data for PRISM's mapping of the human terrain. And then if you remember Jade Helm 15, it was a military drill for the collapse of the dollar. And then the next year they had Jade Helm 16. What was Jade Helm 16 all about? Mastering the human terrain. And the military called that unconventional warfare. And it is. It's part of 5GW, part of fifth generational warfare. This is what they're doing against us, people. Everything about us is being collected and watched. Let's see. Which way should I go on now? Should I get into?
I do have a quote I would like to read. While you think of that, I do have a quote I'd like to read from you. Long ago, in the dark, unwritten pages of human history, powerful kings discovered how they could control other men by torture, magical practices, wars, politics, religion, and interest taking. These elite families designed strategies and tactics to perpetuate their occult practices. Layers upon layers of secrecy have hidden these families from the profane masses. And it's crazy how, once you study these things, the Illuminati control the bloodlines and everything else. It's crazy how far back it goes. and you lay it out very brilliantly. But the thing is, it's all the way to modern day. They're still using these same practices of, you know, control and enslaving the human race, you know.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a good subject to touch on. I learned how to help these victims of trauma-based mind control, Illuminati total mind control, in the School of Hard Knocks. And then I wrote three powerful books on it. Anyway, when the programmers program these people and they turn them into human robots, and they give an identification number to the slave, it's like, you know, a VIN number on a car. Mm-hmm. Like when you go to get a tag, you give them your VIN number.
Yeah.
That particular car has a specific VIN number. Well, the model of slave that you know, person X, you know, Susie Q will have a slave VIN number. And within that code, within that VIN number, will be how many generations that bloodline has been doing this trauma-based mind control. And this Rothschild had the number 40 there. In other words, the Rothschilds have been doing this trauma-based total mind control for 40 generations. Now, I don't know exactly how many years that translates in, but that's a lot. It goes way back. Mm-hmm. And their secret genealogy books take them all the way back to Nimrod. So, yeah, we're looking at something that's gone on a long time. And when you understand how this trauma-based mind control works, people, it will explain so much. Like, there's a lot of people that, you know, they realize that all of these school massacres and all of these shopping malls that are getting shot up are some kind of a psyop, but they don't understand how can they pull off these psyops. Well, I'm not saying they use the same method every time, but I'm going to say that, like, Sirhan was one of these mind-controlled slaves of trauma-based mind control. A lot of these shooters are under trauma-based mind control. It makes no sense what they're doing. You know, like that guy that went in there in Lancaster County and shot up that Amish school. He'd been a neighbor of these people and a good neighbor for many years. He's a nice guy. And then all of a sudden he flips and does something weird, like go in and start shooting Amish children. This is trauma-based mind control, people. And the very foundation of it is they split the mind into program multiple personalities. And the deeper junk lays way down deep in the mind, dissociated from the personality that runs that holds the body day in, day out.
It creates alters within the mind also, right?
Exactly. So I was just talking to somebody, and I probably will skip saying who this movie actress is, but she's so lovable. And I mean, everybody would love her. I mean, everybody does love her. And she made one of the best movies ever. And yet, she comes from a bloodline that's associated with the Illuminati. She's a program multiple, which explains why she ended up in Rothschild parties that are like, if people ever see that movie, Wise Eyed Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut, yeah, right. With Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. Stanley Kubrick film.
Exactly. Thank you. That's the kind of party she was at. And then you would like go, no, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. I had somebody come to me once many years ago and he goes, oh, thank you, Fritz. You made so much sense in my life. And, you know, this man had been seeing strange things. For instance, he's at this expensive restaurant. There's this high up to do lady you know, and she's got all this nice clothing on, and you know, she looks like a refined lady. And he goes through the bathroom, the men's bathroom, later, and he sees this woman down on her knees doing all this sexual stuff in the bathroom. And he's just like blown away. This doesn't make sense, you know. It absolutely didn't make any sense to him. But then when he came across my research that these people are programmed multiples, the personality that holds the body from day to day is generally a really great person. But there's all this junk behind. There's satanic altars. There's assassination altars. There's prostitute altars for men and women. And that partly explains all of this LGBT stuff that's being thrown in our face. Anyway, when you realize how this mind control works, it makes sense of a lot of what we're seeing today. Now, I'm not saying that's the only thing, because I've been saying for over 30 years that they're using blackmail control files on people. I had a friend who was an ex-policeman, and he actually, that's a whole nother story too, and I'm not going to get into that. But if people have listened to my interviews over the last 30 years, I have talked about his story a few times. Anyway, he managed to get into this room that had all of the files where everybody who was anybody in power in his state, there was a blackmail control file on them with the proof to send them to prison if they didn't follow their orders. So everybody up on the federal level that has any power is controlled. You know, so that's why you're not seeing me say, oh, write your congressman, you know, tell him you're going to back him. Well, that guy is not only is he being bribed and given a lot of money, but he's, you know, the carrot is there to give him power and money. But he's also got the stick behind him that if he doesn't follow, they've got the blackmail goods to ruin his career, to ruin him as a person. Every now and then you see some silly thing come on television. You know, I saw this was like a year ago when I was traveling and I was in a hotel and I went down for the pre-breakfast. And so I was watching the Weather Channel and they show this guy. He was a CEO of a company and he made a joke about China. And they literally were ripping him to shreds, and he was apologizing left and right for having made a joke about China.
To listen to this full-length interview, you have a few options available to choose from in the description. You can subscribe through the Buzzsprout link provided for $3 a month. With the Patreon link provided, you will have a video podcast option, which is $5 a month. So what the hell are you waiting for?